Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, this episode of Enough About Me. And by the way, I don't know if this like... Moroso, can we get rid of that stupid like music intro, Leo? I used to give Ben shit about it 3 years ago, and for some reason it has stayed. I don't want it anymore. Let's just get rid of it. Figure out something else. Do we even need it? Does like Marin have one, or these other podcast giants, of which I am one, by the way? You're gonna get this on Friday afternoon. I'll be strutting around Augusta National when this podcast drops, by the way. Which I cannot wait. Like, you know, there are things in your life that you circle your entire year around. This is one of those days for me. I cannot wait to be at the Masters. Augusta is the greatest fucking place on earth. I cannot wait to go. Anyways, as I tweeted out on Wednesday, the podcast numbers for March, I got to look at them. Carlson Mosdy's is part of the team in his office, showed me the numbers, and they were phenomenal. The downloads are up every week. They're up all the time. Obviously, it was the highest month ever in terms of downloads just because we had so many of them in March. We usually once one or two, three a month. Probably had 10 or 15 last month. But the average is higher too, which means people are downloading and talking about it and tweeting about it and telling people about it, which I appreciate. And I can't tell you enough, stress enough, download it anywhere you want. You know, radio.com, Stitcher, iTunes, all of them. Just download and subscribe. That is essential if you want to keep this podcast going, keep it vital. And we're going to keep doing new ones. I mean, this will be the fourth one I think you're going to get in 3 days. And it's all sort of different, interesting ones. I enjoyed doing the Cullen one. The feedback on that was pretty good. The Moroso Riggs one, I thought, you know, after doing one like Cullen and what the next couple will sound like, the Sword and Scale and the one with Andrew Beckwith, who I'll tell you about in a moment, once in a while you got to sort of loosen up a little bit. Moroso, I thought, did okay. I think he's got a real chance at this job. The feedback on social media was mixed, but I think all agreed that he was stupid enough that he may be a character we can have some fun with. And Riggs from Barstool, my first time on, really good talking about the Masters. The Sword and Scale stuff I thought was so interesting that I thought it was worth having him on. The story is so similar in a lot of ways to what I went through. I just wanted to have that conversation. And today we have Andrew Beckwith, who's the president of Massachusetts Family Institute. Super religious guy. I just taped this with him. But came on, as opposed to the other side, you know, he'll come on and have a debate about it. He'll come on and he answered every question. I disagree with him on some things. I agree with him on other things. And this is about the sort of the quote-unquote gay conversion therapy bill that Governor Baker just passed, banning it in Massachusetts. I think that's the 15th or 16th state to do so. Well, he's leading the charge against it. And your first reaction is this guy is against, banning gay therapy. Well, again, it's a headline. You got to remember who writes them. You got to remember who spins them. At its core, does he want gay conversion therapy, castration, electric shock therapy? Probably not. Now, does he disagree with me on whether you can live life as a gay person closeted, if it's a healthy way to do it? Probably not as well. But you kind of want to have a conversation with these people as opposed to saying, and this is the world we live in now, you're a bigot. You fuck you, go away, go in your hole, hide. And when you do that, and I've said this all along, when you do that to people, then it begins, these people get angrier and angrier and angrier, and it gets less productive. I've said it a million times about my own situation with the LGBT community, which I have no issue with. When the bathroom stuff was a couple of years ago, I didn't care. To me, every bathroom, use them, male, female, both, whatever. There were people who were uncomfortable about that. There are people who, if they have their daughter and their daughter uses the bathroom, their 9, 10, 11-year-old daughter, your dad, and she goes in there, you can't go in with her. You don't think you can go in with her. Excuse me. And then you see a 42-year-old transitioned male to female go in there who might be big or muscular or whatever. You're lying, I think some people are, if they say, geez, I'm a little hesitant. Boy, I'm nervous. And I think it's okay to identify that and then talk about it, but we don't live in that world now. We live in the fuck you world. where you have to feel shame about that, where you have to be defined as that, and there's no coming back from that. And that's too bad. I had a good conversation with him. I enjoy talking to him. Again, we agree on some things. We disagree on some other things. I'm happy to have a forum where I could talk about it with this guy for 35 minutes, and I do so this week. Not this week. This is like the old days. Jesus. On this episode here of Enough About Me, next week we'll have a bunch of new stuff as well. May have a big announcement regarding podcast stuff. Not the show necessarily, but other podcast stuff here in the next few weeks as we go forward. And again, continue to let me know what you think of the show. Tweet at me at Kirkman. Give me feedback. Tell me guests you might want. Give me ideas you have. I'm always welcome, always open to it. We may do a podcast mailbag here in the next week or two. We just talk about, you know, the podcast itself, things you like, you don't like. I don't really want to, like, I have nothing left to say, really, about the EI experience. I think I've said it enough. I mean, they're doing their thing, I'm doing mine. I think answering questions about that endlessly is just like, it's to be, at this point, I'm tired of doing that. So, I'm trying to get anything else before we start this up here. I don't think so. Andrew Beckwith, the president of Massachusetts Family Institute, joins me right now on Enough About Me. Okay, Andrew Beckwith is the president of the Massachusetts Family Institute. Is that correct? Is that the correct title, Mr. President?
Yes.
Yes. Do I have to call you Mr. President during this interview? Is that?
I prefer El Presidente.
Is that right? Yeah. Wow, a flavor. Look at you. Andrew Beckwith joins me. And I guess so. The big story recently is the news that Charlie Baker is going forward and banning, gay conversion therapy in Massachusetts. And I've seen you in different stories. And sometimes I think, and I may be wrong, when I read these stories, whoever writes them has an agenda, obviously, even if it's just straight news. So they may put a quote in there, a quote in there that may be misleading. So I kind of want to sort of flush out the entire thing. I guess,
sure.
First of all, where do you stand on Governor Baker's decision?
Well, we're very disappointed because what he did is he signed into law a piece of legislation that is very expansive. So it's not just what I think most people picture when they hear the term conversion therapy. It actually covers a broad range of activity, including just sort of counseling or talk therapy. This is a concern for families, for counselors, and for young people who, you know, maybe because of past trauma or abuse or for whatever reason have some confusion about, you know, what they want to do as far as living their lives with a certain sexual behavior or relationships or identities. And, this new law prevents them from seeking out, some of them at least, from seeking out the treatment that they want.
So I guess my question is, and again, you know, walk me through it if you can. So yep. I'm Kirk Minahan, 14-year-old Kirk Minahan, right?
Okay.
And I'm gay. I'm a homosexual. I'm attracted to men. And I want to go to a therapist to talk about it. I can't imagine that this legislation is going to in any way prevent me from doing that.
Well, you could go and talk to the therapist, but let's say, as was the case with someone who testifies, his name's Ken Williams, mm-hmm. He testified at the hearing at the State House on this legislation about a month or so ago. He was, I think, 15.
Okay.
Was attracted to other guys, but didn't want to embrace that lifestyle or that orientation. He wanted to be married to a woman, wanted to have children. Part of that's due to his faith. He wanted to live consistently with sort of the teachings of his faith. So he eventually sought counseling at the age of 17, mm-hmm. and was able to sort of resolve some of the underlying issues that, for him at least, contributed towards the unwanted same-sex desires. And now he's happily married with four kids.
Well, I guess so. I guess this is where we will arrive at our disagreement or whatever. Like, my belief is, and I've read about it in books and stories, that you know, I believe that you are born gay, and you say this gentleman, Mr. Williams, turned his back on that lifestyle after going to therapy and is now married. I'd argue that he's I don't know him. My argument would probably be he's a closeted homosexual who's living sort of a life of a lie. You don't think that's the case?
Well, not at all. I mean, I've heard his story, you know, multiple times, and even if I did think that, that would not justify me or the state passing a law to prevent him from getting the help and making the choices and living the life that he wants to live, whether we think it's a lie or not. And the language in this bill specifically says, under what it bans, not just changing someone's orientation. He can certainly debate whether or not someone's orientation or their underlying desires will ever really change.
Well, do you think first of all, before we get to the bill, do you think that they can change?
I mean, I've heard from people who say that they have. So, you know, and I believe them. But the bill's broader than that. It says orientation includes changing behaviors or gender expressions. So, I mean, certainly if somebody has maybe a range of sexual desires or wants to focus exclusively on, in this case, let's say heterosexual sexual desires in order to, you know, enter into a traditional marriage and have biological children, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if they want help, counseling help, to do that, the state shouldn't be trying to stop them. And I was on the phone just a few days ago with some parents whose daughter is going through a gender identity crisis. So this bill also applies to gender identity and says, look, if you have a 15-year-old girl, or let's say the 14-year-old Kirk Minahan
wants to be a girl, is thinking about transitioning to living life as a female.
Right.
Right.
And so if you sought counseling at age 14, 15, 16, said, look, I feel like a woman on the inside, but, you know, I'm not sure what I should do. Do I get hormone treatment and, you know, do a surgical amputation? Like, what do I do? Maybe I should just be the guy that my anatomy is right now. If a therapist helped you to feel comfortable in your own body, that would be banned now by this new law.
Well, it's just tricky because, you know, as a libertarian, I don't want the government's hands on anything. I recognize that conversion therapy, and we can get into what that means and doesn't mean, can be something I have real issues with.
Sure.
But it's a scary time, A, when the government has their hands in this, and B, I mean, let's be honest, and I think we disagree on some of this stuff, but I think we agree on this. The LGBTQ community is stronger than ever now, and as a political force, is really beginning to put their foots on the throats of on the other side pretty consistently here.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you can't, you know, and I think it's a hard position to fight back from because you are labeled, whether you are or not, whether you think you are or not, you're labeled a transphobe, anti-gay, and then you sort of have that battle, which is unwinnable, really, in 2019. Once they start throwing that at you, it's hard to come back from.
Well, it makes it very difficult for people like Ken Williams to even tell his own story, to have his own personal story get listened to. It when he was testifying at the State House, it was one of the state reps who sponsored the bill, who said basically that, you know, listening to you is dangerous for these LGBT youth. So again, I think that is completely unconscionable to say, particularly to kids who are struggling with gender identity, because that's just exploded in the past couple of years. That to hear that you can actually be made to feel comfortable in your own body, you can get counseling to help you resolve these sexual feelings, to say that that's dangerous is extraordinarily irresponsible. And, you know, I think eventually these people will be held accountable for forcing kids in a direction, therapy-wise, that is, especially on the gender identity issue, causes sterility, is untested, is very, very new, doing cross-sex hormones and puberty blockers on youth, even now starting surgery with 16-year-old girls and double elective mastectomies. I mean, these are permanent, life-altering, body-changing surgeries and procedures. And, you know, I think we should preserve alternate approaches that are just consist of talk therapy on those issues, for sure.
When I say conversion therapy to you, what do you think that is?
Well, I've heard of, you know, a variety of definitions of that. And again, the bill doesn't talk about conversion therapy. The bill talks about sexual orientation and gender identity change efforts and then defines those, you know, very broadly, including talk therapy. So conversion therapy oftentimes is defined by, you know, using the electroshock therapy or nausea-inducing drugs. At the State House hearing a few weeks ago, a couple people said, and they must have, one of them must have misheard a talking point or something, because one guy said that I was forced to beat an effigy of my mother. Another guy said I was forced to eat an effigy of my mother. So all that type of stuff falls under the category of aversive treatments. You use shame or pain.
Sure. I mean, there's stories about guys being beaten up while having to watch tapes of men having sex.
Right.
You know, you've heard castration. Yep. You've heard testicle implants. You've heard
The castration is actually coming from the other side on the gender identity issue.
Well, right, but I'm saying in the history, if you go all the way back to the start of conversion therapy, I mean, right. I'm going to take a wild guess that you are not in support of any of those actions.
Of course not. Of course not. And we don't know anybody who's doing that stuff. And if the law was written to just prevent those things from happening, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Do you think that homosexuality is an illness, or do you think it's something you're born with? What do you think?
To me, it doesn't really matter because, you know, personally, I'm coming to this from a faith perspective that says that God has designed us as male and female in His image, and that's, you know, written all throughout the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Genesis starts with the marriage of Adam and Eve and ends with the marriage of, you know, the Lamb. So marriage is one man, one woman, and that being the proper context for sexual activity.
Kind of an old book to go by, though, wouldn't you say? I mean, it's a little dated, no?
It's the book.
Well,
you and I can disagree on that, but
well, it's the guide.
Business does the state have saying that I can't get help living my life according to the book or faith or ideology?
Well, let's say the Bible said that, you know, let's just say the Bible said, you know, 12-year-olds can get married. They can get married to 12-year-old girls can get married. Would you be okay with that being legal?
Well, I mean, we're fighting legislation that would require teaching kids even younger than 12 all kinds of different.
Well, I understand, but I mean, I would say the Bible does have some things that haven't aged real well, wouldn't you say, as well as the things that you use? I mean, you know, the Bible talks about slavery, correct?
It does, and it actually says that slave trading is a very serious sin.
I mean, you know, do you think that, you know, I mean, is the Bible the laws of which you lead your life only by what's in the Bible?
Yeah, the teaching of Holy Scripture and the traditions of the Church, which is true, I think, for perhaps still even the majority of Americans, but certainly was the case historically, and that's what all our laws have grown out of, and sort of the broad common law approach. But one of those laws is the First Amendment, which protects not only religious practice and belief, but also free speech, and you know, that's one of the areas where this law is clearly beyond the scope of what the state is
permitted
to do.
Sure. But I mean, what? So was it Leviticus? Is that where it says that capital punishment for adultery between the man and the woman? You don't advocate for that, right?
We do not advocate for that. No.
That's in the Bible, correct?
That's in the Bible.
If Mrs. El Prez is goofing around, you know,
you
shouldn't clip her. I mean, like,
there's a difference between saying that we're going to take,
well, if it's your guideline, though, Andrew, I mean, if that's a consistent guideline by which you live, why is it dated for the things that you think are stupid or outdated, but the things that fit what you want, why is it not dated at that point?
Well, and the conversation we're having is about the state imposing their beliefs on individuals.
Well, how would you feel if the state made that the rule because Governor Baker said, because you know what Leviticus said, I'm standing by it. Would you then applaud him?
I'd like to see him get that through the legislature. That'd be interesting.
Well, I'm just saying, you understand my point, though?
Yeah, but I don't think it applies in this case, because I'm talking about if you have young people who want to voluntarily abide by the teachings of their church or of the Bible or of the Quran or any other holy book, what business does the state have telling them they can't?
I agree. I would like to disagree with you on that at its core, but I can't. As a libertarian, I would just say, and it seems like we actually agree on this, if it got to a point where it's a dangerous conversion therapy situation,
sure.
It sounds to me like we're lockstep on that, that you just say, this is absurd, ban it, get rid of it, right?
Absolutely. And we actually had tried, and I know some legislators had tried, to say, look, let's just amend the bill to say it doesn't cover talk therapy. And everyone's good. And the legislature wouldn't even debate it.
So why is that? Why do you think that is?
Well, because I think ideologically, it's like you mentioned before. I mean, they don't want anyone even objecting to the idea that...
Well, you seem homophobic. I mean, like, I think a lot of people think that whatever, if they think of the Mass Family Institute, right, I think that the people on your side think it's great. And I think the extreme end on the other side think that it's sort of, you know, hate-filled and anti-gay and I mean, right? I mean, that's where we're at now in society.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the middle ground doesn't exist.
I think we're slightly to the right of Chick-fil-A, and that's bad enough, right?
Well, listen, I like waffle fries, so I can't.
Me
I mean, politically, you can do whatever they want. I'm eating those waffle fries. It doesn't matter to me. Do you think? So you have two sons, right?
I do.
How old are they?
15 and 14.
Okay, so good. So good age. So 14-year-old comes up to you today and says, Dad, I'm attracted to men.
Okay.
I'm gay. What happens? What's the next step in the Beckwith house?
Well, you know, we continue that conversation we've been having for a number of years now about sexuality and what it means to be a man. And you know, I say, look, as a man, you're going to experience all kinds of sexual temptations. But have you
been attracted to men?
I have not been attracted to men.
Okay.
But again,
you're not attracted to me.
I'm not. I've never been that close to you.
Fine. Okay.
But I listened to you a lot on the radio.
I thought we had something.
A nice voice.
I thought we had something going. But fine. Go ahead.
You know, I think the way I approach it, that topic, is that every guy I know struggles with sexual temptations of some kind or another, right? I mean,
sure.
If we believe that God's design for human sexuality is one man, one woman, you know, in marriage for life, any sort of temptation beyond that is sinful. I mean, Jesus even says, look, if you just lust after a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart. Jimmy Carter copped to that correctly.
Playboy, right.
And so I'd say, look, you know, whether you're attracted to men or women or both.
Yeah, but do you want your son to, let's just say your son then goes through puberty and everything, and he's not attracted to women. He's attracted solely to men. Would you want your son to live a life where he's not fully satisfied, like, in every way? I mean, he could then
Are you fully satisfied in every way?
No, I'm not, but I don't live like we both know a closeted life leads to much higher depression rates, much higher suicide rates. I mean, these studies are all over the place. Much higher alcoholism. I mean, these are just I don't think you'd want your son to live a life where he's deeply unhappy, right?
Well, of course not. But we believe that true happiness.
Who's we?
Which passes my family,
okay.
My church.
Okay.
The peace which passes all understanding comes from God and comes from obedience to His word. Which again, I'm not saying that's what you need to do for your family.
Don't you think if God came back today? Don't you think if Jesus rolled back in today? You know, first of all, he wouldn't wear those hideous shoes, which I never liked.
He'd have sandals?
I hate feet. I hate open feet. I would say to Jesus, turn those sandals into sneakers right now, and he'd do it for me. Because I think we'd be pretty good friends. But I think he'd say, you know what? Let's all love each other. Like, this. So what? This guy's attracted to another guy? So what? Like, let's move on. No?
Well, but again, if you believe... So,
no?
Jesus being part of... No, I don't think he would say that because, I mean, love doesn't mean, hey, go do whatever you want, whatever makes you feel happy.
Well, it's not like you're having sex with a child. I mean, it's two consenting adults. So what? One guy's a penis, another guy's a
penis. Why just two, Kirk?
What do you mean?
Why just two? I mean, why is it okay if it's only two consenting adults? Why not three or four?
Well, if they're consenting, I don't care. It could be 40. It's fine by me. I don't, you know.
Okay.
Define
what age?
My Bible is darkness on the edge of town. You know, it's not the Bible. What was that?
So, and define when you say adults, what's an adult?
I would say 18 and over.
Why?
It's sort of the standard, and I think the brain is fully formed at that point. You've gone through puberty, probably. You have some ability to make a decision.
Can't rent a car until you're 25. I mean,
what's that?
Can't rent a car until you're 25.
That is weird, isn't it? I've never really understood that.
Well,
the point is
what, you know, what I saw going through law school, and it's one of the reasons I'm in this business, is that you know, once you take out that traditional standard,
yeah,
it gets real slippery real fast.
Well, let's say okay.
Maybe that's another show, but
no, we got time. But so you're the 14-year-old again. We're just playing this out. So you're not saying he's gay. Let's say he's gay. He battles with it. He's gay, and he finally says to you, Dad, like, I'm in love with this guy. I want him to be my partner in life. Would you wouldn't turn your back on your son, would you?
Look, I'm not going to turn my back on my son, but because I love him, I would say, look, son, I love you. You know, but you can, and I have other men that I love as friends and brothers.
No, but that's different than what, you know, that's different than...
Well, it is different, but you don't need to, just because you have a close emotional bond with another man doesn't mean you have to insert sex into the process.
Yeah, let's just say they really, you know, and they have a nice life together, and they adopt a couple of kids together, and they raise those kids, and they're good, solid people. And by the way, they're both religious people, which I think, I mean, are you opposed to having homosexuals as part of the Mass Family Institute?
I haven't seen many of them trying to join.
Well, I'm just saying, but I'm saying, I mean, if you really believe in God, and all, I would think that you'd be inclusive and open and want to love everybody. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Well, it occurs because we love everyone that we want what's best for everyone, and we believe what's best is outlined in God's word. So, for example, with Mass Famous 2, we have a statement of faith that if from the board of directors, an employee, you're supposed to be in agreement with that, so we can all be kind of rowing in the same direction. And that includes God's design for Marriage and Human Sexuality, which, you know, stood the test of time for thousands of years, and what we're seeing now is new. I mean, this gender identity thing, at a minimum, you've got to admit that is brand new.
Absolutely. And I would say, honestly, like, I've gotten some trouble, obviously, on the radio for this. I'm with you. Like, you know, people can do what they want. But my, you know, I have two kids as well. One's 12 and one's going to be 7. If they started battling this stuff or having identity issues, I would say I totally understand. You know, let's have as much therapy as possible and talk it out in every way. But we're not going to have any surgery here. We're just because your body hasn't changed yet. You don't really know what's going on yet. I agree with you. No issues with you on that one. None.
Yeah. And then unfortunately, that's covered by the law as well. And I see time after time, parents will call me, and you know, kids are just getting rushed into hormones and surgery. Like I was talking to one dad, he said, you know, 2 weeks ago, his daughter said that she identified as male, and she went and saw a psychologist who is now calling her by her male name and male pronouns, and she says to her dad, "Hey, Dad, can I take the T?" And she wasn't talking about the blue line. She means testosterone injections.
How old did you say she was?
She's 15.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough, you know. But you must have sympathy for this girl who's feels like she's a man. I mean, she's not. I don't think it's coming from a place of fiction. Nobody wants to, I don't think, have these internal battles.
Of course not. Of course. I mean, it's, you know, one of the first tasks I have when I joined him, if I wrote a Mickey brief in a case that dealt with Michelle Kozlik, Robert Michelle Kozlik.
Yep.
Okay. So, and I read, you know,
the prisoner, correct?
What's that?
The prisoner, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
He had strangled his wife with
the state
wire,
and we paid for his surgeries.
I'm not sure if he actually had the surgery.
Okay. I mean, right. But that was
was being debated, whether we had to do the surgery for him or not. But I read through all the court documents and his testimony, and what struck me is the reason he had been horribly abused as a young boy. Went and tried to get counseling, and then the counselor got into a relationship with him. Grandfather was involved with abuse. I mean, just horrible, horrible stuff. And what they were saying is, look, he wants to remove his male genitalia because when he looks at it, he sees the instrument of his own torture.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I that makes sense. I don't think surgery and identifying as a woman is the answer, but I can see how he got to that.
Well, I think it's also,
it breaks your heart.
Right, and I don't think it's uncommon. Well, I think there's some people who feel it and then have the surgery and then feel better. It's not uncommon. Renee Richards, the tennis player, who did this years and years ago, she says she wished she hadn't done it because, you know, you're chasing, you know, you're depressed. You think it's going to be the solution for this depression. Sometimes it is, but oftentimes it's not. I think, you know, clearly we have some disagreements on the other stuff, but I think where we agree is that it's worrisome. Like, I almost understand where Baker's coming from, and Baker, I think, is a panderer, but I do understand where he's coming from, and that when you hear gay conversion, I get that. But it's what it does is it does set an extraordinarily slippery slope in that what can the government do, what can't they do? I think it sets a tough precedent.
It does. So we're hoping it'll be overturned by the courts. There was some good language less than a year ago from the Supreme Court on this issue of free speech. And I think if, you know, people, like, now that this law's passed, the situation in Massachusetts for a 15-year-old girl who thinks she's a boy is that she can get hormone injections, puberty blockers. She can get set up for a double elective mastectomy. That's fine. Everybody will cheer. The state may even pay for it. But if she goes on her own volition and gets counseling to feel comfortable in her own body, that's banned. That's against the law. The therapist loses their license. And that's where we are right now in Massachusetts. And if that's not completely upside down and backwards, I don't know what is.
And it's in how many states now? Is this the
14th? We're the 16th.
16th state to do that. Have you ever had a conversation with Baker at all or no?
I talked to someone in his office, but not with him directly on this. I'd be happy to.
Don't you feel like, you know, I'm not a fan of Baker's at all. I just feel like his hands are tied. Like, you know, this is life when you're a Massachusetts governor, whether you're Democrat, Republican, you have to play ball. I mean, I think that's, you know, when you don't have any guts like he doesn't, this is what happens.
I mean, look, he could have, there was an overwhelming majority that voted for it, which just tells you something about our legislature.
Yeah, it was, what, like 148 to 4 or some crazy number?
He could have vetoed it. And they would have gone.
Never. First of all, I don't know what he believes on it. And secondly, you're asking him to have, you know, courage and guts, whether you agree with him or not. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
But that shows you have, you have thousands, if not tens of thousands of people in Massachusetts with zero representation up there.
Well, that's, you know, that's the interesting thing about this state is I do wonder sometimes. I watched one of your speeches. I think it was last year. You had a Family Institute dinner event or something.
Yeah.
Watch the speech.
Yeah.
You know, is there a bigger? So when Trump won, a lot of America woke up surprised, and mostly it was people on the East Coast and the West Coast. Middle America, I don't think, was as surprised as we were.
Yeah.
Is there a bigger contingent of that crowd in Massachusetts than the polls would indicate, and sort of, you know, the way people think of the state?
You know, anecdotally, I think so.
Yeah, that's all I'm asking.
But that, you know, but and I, like, I speak at churches all the time, and interestingly, a lot of recent immigrant churches, whether it's Latino, Chinese American, even some Russian Ukrainians, Ugandan. I mean, there are, we're speaking at churches, you know, a couple times a week, and it's a really diverse spectrum of people that you wouldn't sort of assume are even out there, or that they're on the same page with us on these issues, but they are. And I think, you know, we're not as well organized, we're not as well funded, we don't, you know, feed our talking points to the Boston Globe and WGBH and all that. So, I think we're not represented sort of in the media or in the culture either, in proportion to how many numbers there are.
What happens when you die? I don't believe in God. I don't believe in religion. So we differ on that. And so I'm probably going to wherever you think hell is. Now, that's where I'm heading. What happens? So, you know, how old are you right now?
I'm 41.
All right. So you're a little younger than me. Let's give you, we'll say you make it to 85. Why not?
Lord willing.
You make it to 85. Yes. Praise him. You drop dead. You die in your sleep. Perfect. The family's around. All the husbands and wives. The husband and husband is not there. They're not invited. You die. What happens to your, like, what happens?
Well, I'd be able to go, Lord willing, to paradise, just like the thief on the cross who confessed his faith in Jesus, and Jesus said, "Today you will be with me in paradise."
But I mean, what happens? Like you really think like a spirit comes out of your body and like floats up to the sky?
I don't know if it floats, but I mean, there's a soul, I believe, that is eternal, and that the body will be resurrected when Jesus comes back on a horse with a tattoo and a sword coming out of his mouth. It's in Revelation. Read it.
Wait, well, when's he supposed to come back? Why? What's taking him so long? No,
it could be coming like a thief in the night. Nobody knows.
Is there a chance he's already been back? We don't even know it?
No, because when he comes back, he's going to come back like the way he left, very visibly.
Oh, you think he'll have like a reality show?
It'll be bigger than a reality show.
you think he'll be...
It'll be on Facebook Live in case
he'll have a Twitter account? I think Jesus might be taken already. He's going to have a new Twitter account.
I don't think he'll need a Twitter account. I think his voice will be heard by everyone.
What do you think of people like me who don't believe in God? Like, you don't get angry, right?
No, I mean, there's plenty of times I get angry. I'm not angry at you, Kirk. I mean, I'll pray for you, and I mean that.
You will?
Yeah, of course.
Can you say a prayer for me right now?
Sure.
All right, go ahead. Let it rip. I need it. Go ahead.
All right, Heavenly Father, I just want to lift up your child, Kirk, to you today. Mm-hmm. I've had the opportunity to listen to him many times, and it's been a pleasure to speak with him. I ask that you will reveal yourself to him, to let him know the peace that you bring, which passes all human understanding. Bless him and his family. Draw them close to you, that he may know you as I seek to know you, and that we may share eternity together in heaven, talking about baseball, football, and worshiping you.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. That's very nice. Thank you. See, that makes me feel better.
Good.
Good. What are you able to, is it, so the Catholic Church, right, which I'm a lapsed member of,
okay,
it's, for very many reasons, as we know, is struggling with, it's almost like baseball. There's nobody there who's young anymore. Do you see in your religion, like, you've got to pull these kids by the ear to get to church now? I mean, it's especially in the era of, you know, YouTube and video games and things going 50 miles an hour. Church seems antiquated. No? You don't see that issue?
I mean, so it's a complicated question because, again, I've had the privilege of visiting and speaking at, I don't know, probably 100 different churches, everything from, you know, like a Catholic church, all the way to sort of a charismatic Pentecostal Latino church with, well, there's one church that's got a praise band that, you know, could be the Tonight Show band, and the pastor.
Yeah, music is always good. You need music.
Yeah, and, yes. You know, so, and fantastic preaching. Very different types. I mean, I'll be in a Russian Orthodox church and then an African American church, charismatic church. You know, all over the map. And you know, I believe that we're designed as humans to worship. And so people feel a call to worship something. It may be themselves. It may be sexual activity, actually, which can be the closest thing to a spiritual experience that a lot of people encounter. But, you know, the churches are thriving here in Massachusetts, again, especially in the immigrant community, which maybe goes somewhat unnoticed. But I've been surprised at how many church plants there are, how many young, you know, growing churches. I was just talking to a pastor over lunch who has to go to 3 services now, and he's got to do a simulcast. And this is a church led by an immigrant pastor from Africa, who I think he started this maybe 3 years ago, maybe in like a public school. Mm-hmm. And now he's, you know, bursting with the saints.
Can't you be? Can you understand why there's so much anger from Catholics though with their own church, given the way they've botched this entire situation?
Certainly.
I mean, it's such a disgrace.
Catholic myself, but I hear from a lot of. You know,
people have probably bailed and gone to other, I know, gone to other religions. I know people who have done it.
Yeah, it's tragic. I mean, the Bible also says that it's better to have a millstone around your neck and be cast into the abyss than to lead one of these little ones astray. So there will be, you know, when Jesus comes back on his horse,
the sword in his mouth.
And the sword in his mouth.
Wouldn't it be hard to ride a horse with a sword in your mouth?
Hey, man, Jesus can do it.
That's true. Yeah, that's a good point. Where's he gonna like come from to get to the horse? Like, is he just gonna show up?
I believe it says it's gonna be, you know, he'll be coming from the east, like the rising of the sun.
Beard or no beard?
I'm gonna go with beard.
Haircut or still long?
Probably still long.
Yeah, I think that's a good look for him, the Jesus look.
It's classic.
I agree. You're right about that. He is an original.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew Beckwith is the president of Mass Family Institute. I appreciate him coming on, answering some of my dopey questions. I do, you know, I you know, listen, I am conflicted on this one, but I have no use. Less government in the world, the better. I know you continue to battle this. I'll pay attention to it. I mean, do you, obviously this is now going to be a court issue.
Yeah.
It seems like you're fairly confident or at least slightly optimistic that it may go your way. But this is one of these things that will just be, if that's the case, then it'll go to another, it'll be stuck in courts forever, right?
Well, I think it'll work its way up to the Supreme Court, hopefully sooner rather than later. I mean, Justice Thomas, again, less than a year ago, essentially invited appeal on this because he called out the two sort of precedent cases from California and New Jersey and said they weren't, you know, this idea of professional speech that we get to regulate and treat differently than regular speech is not something that we do. So,
what do you think about the president? You voted for Trump?
I did.
What do you think about the president? You're a religious guy.
Yeah.
The president with the grab him by the pussy and the stuff about McCain. Like, you know, this is a flawed guy, wouldn't you say? This is not like, you know, we think of Ronald Reagan one way. Does it bother you at all? He's not a particularly religious guy, Trump. We know that. Does that bother you at all?
Of course it does. Of course it does.
Did you vote for him in the primary?
I did not.
Who'd you vote for? Rubio?
I voted for Ted Cruz in the primary.
Oh, yeah, you're a Ted Cruz guy.
That's all my personal capacity.
Right, yes. But I mean, does it bother
you? I had members who were big Trump supporters, members who were never Trumpers.
Mm-hmm.
I know he got a lot of votes from evangelicals, but that had more to do with what the alternative
was. Right, yes.
He's done a lot of good things on the life issue. I mean, one of the reasons why I'm hopeful that we'll get a good look at the Supreme Court on this issue and others is because of the judges that he's put in there that would not have been put in there if Hillary won. But my word, I wish we had someone who did not come with all that baggage, for sure.
Yes. Well, all right, Andrew, I appreciate it. Good luck, I guess, with your battle. And we might check in with you here as this thing progresses, if that's
Please
okay.
Please do.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks,
right.
Andrew.
Yep.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.